Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schuchel.
We are going to talk about the Fairy Godmother Project this morning and their work in these times by phone, as everyone is in these days. Andy McConnell is on the line with us. Andy, good morning. Good to have you here this morning with us.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's weird
to not be looking at you.
Yes, it is. And I go through this with every guest who's a regular like you. It's just not the same. And so this gets by us quickly and you can be back in the studio with us again.
Oh, gosh, I hope so, Todd, because I certainly miss you. It's so hard to be sitting looking at my German Shepherd instead of you, and hoping my kids don't come downstairs and ruin the show.
Well, it'll happen. I've had dogs barking. We've had that through the show. We've had husbands walking in and wives and interrupting. And so we've had all kinds of things going on. So,
oh, good. Well, my goal then is for this to be the perfect show
okay.
with no background craziness.
So. We'll see how that goes. I had not really thought about this except in the last day or so after we set this up. But the Fairy Godmother Project, you deal with and work with families with children with pediatric cancer, and we were just saying off air, this is the kind of lifestyle really that we've been living lately, all of us, that families who are dealing with that live with. I had not really thought about that.
Yeah, I think that's really true. So all of our families, for people that don't know, when a child is in treatment, and actually for about 2 years after, their immune system is compromised. And as a result, the families don't do a lot of social things. They don't take their children out in public because they're fearful of things like the flu, or even just for some kids, just a basic cold can end up hospitalizing them. And so many of them live a lifestyle very much like all of us are having to live now, where you can't go out and do things, except the difference is that in some ways it might be a little easier right now for our families because everyone has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how one of the things I've heard from other parents is sort of the frustration that not everyone is following the social distancing as strictly as they should be, and so their children are still being invited to do things. And that leads to frustration for the kids because they're missing out. Whereas for our pediatric cancer families, it's always like that. They're always missing out. No, you can't go to your friend's birthday party because you just had treatment. And so it's all those things that we're all experiencing, sort of how they live all the time when their child is in treatment and for the time after while they're still trying to keep him or her healthy.
And you're always worried about, do you have a fever? You're always calling a lot of times we'll be calling your nurse or somebody,
right,
to check on things, and you
yep.
follow that kind of things. And then just like now, I mean, the big thing now is, do you have a fever?
Yeah, and that constant fear, you know, like that we're experiencing. I think so. I'm always a person. One of the things Fairy Godmother Project has done for me is shifted my perspective on so many things. But one of the things I think about, you know, going to the grocery store for me on the average day is no big deal. I go to the grocery store, I dilly-dally, you know, I'm like, love shopping, which is so strange, but I do. I spend all this time and, you know, I usually get a coffee at Wegmans, the whole bit.
Yeah.
But our families can't ever really do that because they're just as fearful as we are now going into the store. What if I come across someone that has the flu and doesn't know it? What if someone sneezes, you know? And so, and maybe the fears aren't quite as high as they are now with COVID, but they certainly are always there for these families, you know? And so you imagine here, we're all complaining, how much longer, you know? And we've been at it for, 5 weeks at the most? And some of these families do this for 3 years where they have to isolate their families.
Yeah.
And it's just great perspective for me. And I think it's one of the reasons why, not that I find this to be an easy situation, but it's not really bothering me because I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, people that I know and love and care a great deal about have done this for years and
yeah.
come out of it the other end, and sometimes come out of it the other end with a horrible reality of losing their child. And so, you know, I just think it's good perspective building that, like, we can do this. It's only been 5 weeks for those of you that are dying to get out there and, you know, all that stuff. You know, keeping yourself isolated is in this situation is for the greater good.
Yeah.
As opposed to just for, you know, your individual family.
There are so many parallels now that you talk about, because I can remember in my own case when you would be somewhere and someone started sneezing or coughing and all of a sudden you're looking around, you know, and wanting to kind of, you know, cover your child up, because you really are. Everything is about your immune system, especially in those early days.
Right. Which is how we're all living right now.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody's thinking like, well, I think my immune system's solid, but what if it's not and I don't realize it? What if my immune system is compromised and I'm not aware that, you know, I have some condition I haven't been diagnosed with yet? And then bam, it makes me more susceptible. But these families walk around knowing that about their child.
Yeah.
And,
I can remember even going into sometimes his room, especially in the early days, he'd have to wear a mask and you'd all the kind of things now that were some of us begrudgingly having to do. You have no choice when you start going down this road, when your child is diagnosed, this is what you have to do if you want to give your child a chance.
Right. And then the difference too is like, me popping on a mask right now is a norm, right? So people see me in public and aren't like, why is that woman wearing a mask? People aren't staring at me. Whereas you go out into public with a child who has cancer and your child's in a mask, maybe you're even in a mask, people are like, what in the world are those people doing? You know, so there's this judgment of it that we don't have, because it's an expectation now for us as a community that we'd be doing it. So it's an interesting thing how they can now go, they're now going about their normal as cancer families. That's actually how we're having to experience life.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website where you can find out all the great work. Also, there's a Facebook page. Just look up Fairy Godmother Project and you'll find all the different things they're involved with. When we come back, Andy McConnell is here, and Andy, I want to talk to you about, I thought you guys did just a great thing about collecting items for your families,
yeah,
which was a great thing. And we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WF.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell in this morning. She is with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. And I noticed, Andy, a little bit ago, and I thought this was fantastic, where you all collected supplies like toilet paper, cleaning supplies, things that are really hard to get right now if you go out and go to the store. And you had a big supply. I think it was in your garage where you had it stored?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I thought,
well, this is the second time we've done it since this all started. Because, you know, the reality is, as we were talking earlier, for our families to go to the store is stressful, but now it's even more so. So we figured those things that were essentials that are hard to get, even if you're using one of the delivery services, that we should try and help them out. And it's been great to watch the community because, you know, I think even maybe some of the people that were those that may have taken advantage of getting the stuff when they could, I'm not going to use the word hoarding to describe generous people, you know, they gave us some of the stuff that they had, which it means so much to us and to our families. So we had a church, actually, Mount Ararat, they gave us toilet paper. One of our longtime volunteers and donors and supporters is really involved in her church, Sue Ann Altman. And she just mentioned us to her small group, and then it kind of spiraled, and we sent out, I don't even know how much toilet paper we put for every single family yesterday, but we got toilet paper, PBM. I'm sure you're familiar with the business. They do cleaning,
yeah,
and they do like water spill cleanup and stuff. So they gave us, they donated hospital grade disinfectant to give each family. We had Bowman. Bowman was doing, the distiller was doing the sanitizer, and we got a case of that from them. Enough for each family. And And then we just had individuals in the community, you know, we put a call out first to our volunteers saying, these are the things we need. And then anything that wasn't filled, we put out to the community as a whole. And, we were able to deliver all of it yesterday. It was just amazing. Because of social distancing, like, I wasn't greeting anyone who was dropping off at my house. So, like, I'd go out in my garage and be like, oh, my God, where did all this stuff come from?
Yeah.
And then we left it for a couple of days just with the idea that the virus, you know, can live on surfaces for a certain period of time. And then my daughter and I went out and sorted all of it. We had 13 of our 15 families ask for different items. So we sorted all of it into trash bags because that seemed like the best way to move the stuff. And then we also had a local woman donate masks for each child. So we, you know, gave her, like, ages of the kids and stuff so that we, you know, weren't giving, like, a 18-year-old a, you know, something with, like, I don't know, bunnies. And so each family got a mask. And then we were also, one of my neighbors down the street, she happened to reach out to me on Sunday and say, hey, I made these masks. Could you use them in any way for a Fairy Godmother project? And so I was able to give each volunteer that was coming to the house to pick all the stuff up yesterday, I was able to give them a mask as kind of a little thank you. So, which sounds like a strange thing to give as a thank you, but they were appreciative. So
yeah, these days, in these days, it's like gold. Just mm-hmm. as you described how you did that, though, you really thought this through, you know, just the fact of letting it sit for a few days. So if there was any kind of a virus or thing on it, it wouldn't be there. And, you know, just how you went through so many other steps that, you know, a month ago we never would have thought of. But
right.
Good for you for thinking of that. I just saw the pictures and I just thought this is really nice because this is something these families just don't have the time right now to
right.
do that, or you don't want to have them stand in line at a store.
Yeah, and I know for me, you know, like we were at a point where I was like, oh God, we need toilet paper, you know, and like I'm not a person that goes to Costco and buys the big bulk packet advance. So I'm, you know, mm-hmm. You're probably not, you know, I'm the person that lets her car almost run out of gas. You know what I mean? Like that's who I am. I'm proud of it. But in this situation, it's not good to be that girl. So, you know, I'm like, we don't have any toilet paper. And the reality that, like, the first store I went to, they didn't have it. And the next store that I went to, they didn't have it. And just thinking about that for our families, like, they don't, not only do they not have the time to be doing that, but they shouldn't be going to multiple stores. And so just trying to figure out how we could meet that need was really important to me. You know, I mean, we just, one of the things that I think this has done for most businesses, I assume most nonprofits, and I know for us, is you have to shift your thinking. And, you know, you have to meet needs in a way that are a little bit different, just like us talking on the phone. Like, we still should have the show, even though you were trying to get me to not be on it. And, you know, we still have to do it. So you just need to find a different way, right? So that's kind of what we've been doing, is like, how can we meet these needs, even if it has to be done in sort of a unique way, because there are unique needs now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, a month ago, if you'd said, oh, let's do it by phone, I would have said, well, I guess you don't want to be on the show. No, we're not going to do it. And
right.
so you're not going to be on. or a month ago, if you had said, we're going to give our families, you know, disinfectant and you
right.
know, paper towels and toilet paper, they might have, you would have been like, okay, if you want to do that, but I don't know why you're doing it. But you're, like you say,
right.
things change and you've had to change on the fly.
Yes, exactly. And then just sorting through that, you know, one of the things, we wiped down all the items we sent and everything. And the first time we sent stuff, I sent a mom a text. I said, hey, you know, we wiped everything down, but I know you're going to wipe it down when it comes into your house anyway. And she's like, she texts me back. She's like, you know us all so well, you know, so no matter how clean and, you know, we made sure it was at this end, there's also the knowledge that they're going to make sure it is at their end, too. I mean, they might even let it sit on their front porch for 48 hours. Who knows? You know, none of it's mm-hmm. going to spoil, so they could. But yeah, just thinking about those things. And we actually stopped a few different deliveries that we normally do right away because we were unsure. There's so much uncertainty about the virus itself. And so we didn't want to take a chance that we could be the ones bringing it into their home. You know, so we do meals for the families, and we stopped all meal making because we couldn't bring a group together to make the meals.
Yeah.
And then we also, we deliver crafts for the kids to do, and we stopped that at the very beginning of all this. So we closed the office, or I closed the office, over a month ago now. And that day was like, okay, you need to have a conversation and figure this out. So we made a decision to stop that because we just weren't sure, like, what would we be bringing into the to the families? Could we be taking the chance that we would be bringing the virus into their home? And so we discontinued that. And now, because there's more knowledge, now we're looking at, like, okay, maybe we can, continue doing that. We need to see what the families think. But a lot of changes, like, a lot of our families get their homes clean. Well, they're not anymore because they don't want anyone coming to their house for obvious reasons. And so just having the ability as an organization to be flexible and make that shift where, okay, you're not getting your house cleaned, which is normally like 5 points in our point system, you can apply it somewhere else. So they're applying it to, grocery card instead or gas card or whatever it is. So
yeah,
having to be flexible, we're lucky in a lot of ways that we're able to be flexible. Because I'm sure there's some rigidity in other organizations that don't allow for that. We've moved our support groups to online. We did, last week we did them for our bereaved families and our survivor families on, Zoom, and it worked really well. And so just trying to transition all of our programming to a way that is safe for everyone is really important.
Well, and I guess Andy McConnell with the Fairy Godmother Project here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. And as you look at the world, even as things start to open up at least a little bit sometime, later this spring and into the summer, a lot of this is not going to go away for a long time. And so I'm right. Sure you're looking at this as this is what we're going to be doing for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and the thing is that in some ways it's not terrible, right? You know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah.
We've created these systems very quickly that actually work really well. I mean, yesterday's process with our volunteers, my garage was left open. Every single volunteer's name, it was labeled, and they had already been sent the address where they needed to go. Everything, like, they just had to come in. I had it set up where they could use hand sanitizer as soon as they walked in, wipe their hands, do this, like, step by step, this is what you do. Use the hand sanitizer again before you close your door. I mean, it was really detailed, but it was easy. It's a system. It's in place, and we could do it again. I mean, I went out to my garage at 2, and it was completely cleaned out. And I didn't even know, aside from the dog barking, that they had just come in. So I think just developing systems that can be applied no matter what the situation is really beneficial.
I'm sure. I mean, as you talk and talk about just being able to be so flexible and to be able to do these things, you've got to be proud about everything because you really have adapted and adjusted really in kind of lightning fast speed here to the needs that your families have.
Yeah, I think that, one of the things my board chair said to me at the beginning of this was, don't stress, Andy, because you are able to be adaptable. It's one of your biggest strengths. And I was like, huh, okay. We don't really see yourself the way others see you. So kind of looking back on this last month, the ability to be adaptable is huge, but you don't realize it, until you're in it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of how my staff has been so awesome and flexible and like just going with the flow. And but that's probably been one of the hardest parts. My gosh, if I don't miss them terribly. One of the women dropped something off and I didn't get to see her because of social distancing, and I happened to step outside as she drove by, my program coordinator Diana, and I almost started crying when I saw her. Like, I just couldn't believe that I couldn't talk to her.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing, right? Makes me appreciate them even more.
I think you're right because we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. It's now been over a month, and there are people here that we haven't seen in over a month. And I think a lot of the day-to-day routines that we all went through, we long for those days now.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure there's so much of that for people right now. Our routine at the office was like, we just kind of connected, especially on Mondays. Like, how did everyone's weekend go? We all have kids close in age, so we'd chat for a while. And that connection is so valuable, and I know it, right? I know it every day, but now I really, really know it. And I'm much more like, I sent both of the women that are in the office all the time a text the other day. I'm like, my gosh, I miss you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being so flexible, because they both have totally adapted, like, so easily into like, all right, this is how we're doing it now.
Yep.
With total ease. I mean, it's been amazing. And so I feel so fortunate that I have these people that work for Fairy Godmother Project that are also able to adapt.
No, that's terrific, and the families are the ones who benefit. I mean, the families are really fortunate. Yep. This area is really fortunate to have. I'm always saying it, but you see it not even now to have a fairy godmother project here that can that in this time can do these kinds of things. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Andy McConnell is here. When we come back, I want to talk about just in these days. I mean, you've talked about how you're meeting needs, but a lot of times we can get focused on, you know, just survival and forget that there are the Fairy Godmother Projects and nonprofits in the area that continue to need our support, and even more so now, even in these tight times, to be able to do things. And we'll talk about how to get involved in that way, and you can give us some ideas on that when we come back. Okay. Andy McConnell here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:30 this morning.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
Let it get the Weather Channel.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. And when I say Andy McConnell is here, she is here on the phone with us this morning. I've been hoping your dog would bark. That's the only thing that hasn't happened.
No, because it's hard to control. She sounds very scary, but she's very sweet.
Okay. Yeah. Andy McConnell here, Fairy Godmother Project. And again, I think it was on the Fairy Godmother Project Facebook page where you had the I saw the pictures. I was really moved by all of that because you mentioned it, and my first thought was just the fact that your families don't need to families of pediatric cancer patients don't need to be going to stores or multiple stores to get this kind of thing. Now, to do that, to be able to get some of the things, you've gotten some donations. But as we go along here, nonprofits like the Fairy Godmother Project need us to continue to step up and remember to donate. It can be so easy when you're dealing with this kind of thing of just day in, day out trying to survive. But remember, for you to be able to do some of the things you do need help.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality for us, we have our golf tournament is scheduled for May, and we've had to postpone it. And, you know, we're going to take a hit on that, right? So we typically raise between like $15,000 and $20,000. And now we don't have that money coming in. And that's our reality right now. You know, we're not receiving donations, and we're not able to be soliciting donations. But I'm not soliciting donations out of respect for our, you know, a lot of our sponsors and supporters are also facing a difficult time right now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, for me, what I find is it's a weird balance for us to sort through and figure out how do we support our community? You know, I mean, I've been, goodness gracious, the amount of eating out I've done is out of control just to get to support those restaurants that always support my organization. So I'm like doing takeout, you know, to support them because I want them to be here in the fall. And, we definitely are taking a hit in that regard. You know, we're not soliciting sponsorships for our big event in September because there's so many unknowns. Of course, we're planning to do the event. Mm-hmm. We really don't know what's going to happen. And so that, you know, that definitely adds a level of a shift for us in terms of how we're thinking. But again, being adaptable makes a huge difference. So the woman in my office who handles events, she's already, you know, coming up with a whole bunch of backup ideas, which we're actually discussing today, just in case we aren't able to do some of the events that we normally do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if I still want to give, though, I can still, if I hear this or I know this, I know that you have some needs out there, I can still give.
Yes, Ted, we will take your money.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are actually, Giving Tuesday is normally in November, and whoever it is that organizes Giving Tuesday has switched it to May 5th. So they've moved it because of everything going on with COVID so that nonprofits can, we can have a day of giving. And so we already, as you know, we always do our own day of giving in June. And so the May 5th is the day that the Giving Tuesday is. But we're going to do a month-long fundraiser from May 5th until June 5th. So our regularly scheduled giving day was going to be June 5th. So we're going to do a full month. And each week of that month will be the money that's raised will go to a specific need that we have. You know, like it might be that our goal is to raise, you know, $500 one week mm-hmm. for gas cards or for grocery cards. So it's going to be we're finalizing it probably today, but very specific. So each week, and then we've got some matching donations so that we can hopefully make up for what we're missing because of the golf tournament. And then our giving day typically raises between like 25 and 30,000. So, you know, if we can somehow get at least to that, we should be okay to carry us for a while.
Yeah, no, this is what has concerned me because we all have, and I'm the same as you. I have eaten out more in the last month, sometimes I think, than I have all during the course of a year. But you develop a relationship with some of these owners, or you just want to see them survive, and you do that. But in the back of my mind, I've thought, There still are. There's the Fairy Godmother projects of the area. We can't forget about you.
Right. Absolutely. And I don't know that people have, but I also know that people are a lot of people that are supporters, even if they are businesses that are bigger. And you know, you look at them and think like, oh well, you know, their name is all over, and you know, they certainly aren't being hit by this, but they are, and that's the thing that makes it sort of this like fine balance of like, I don't want to hit up my typical sponsor for a donation right now and ask them when I know that right now things are hard for them. So it's a weird balance for me, at least as an executive director, trying to sort through that and figure out how we can really support our supporters during this time, because in many ways they're being hit harder than we are.
Yeah, boy, this is the kind of thing, and it's the fact that it's worldwide, that this isn't just something that's hit Virginia or the Mid-Atlantic, sometimes storms do. This is a worldwide thing, and it's really hard now to find somebody that's not impacted some way, that whether they maybe even if their job is okay, they likely have had a reduction in pay or just any number of things. This is just so big. So it is important, I guess, to have to keep a wide perspective on and do what you can to help who you can.
Well, and I think that's the key, is do what you can. And I think in some ways our area sort of, I believe, don't quote me, but I am saying it out into the radio sphere, but we're sort of in a bubble in a lot of ways mm-hmm. with the number of government workers that we have.
Yep.
And, you know, so those people are also being paid, even if they aren't having to go to the office, which is great for our economy if they're putting it back out into the into our community, you know. And there are a lot of people who it isn't impacting. Sorry, I'm heating up my tea. but yeah, like for, you know, a lot of people that are salaried, that are able to work from home, it's not impacting. But it's the other people that have the businesses where they're selling homes, or they're trying to sell food, or the restaurants, you know, all those are the ones that are being impacted. But the average person who works for the government or the schools, you know, their income has not been impacted at all.
We are talking with Andy McConnell here this morning. Fairy Godmother Project is our focus, fairygodmotherproject.org. When we started the show and we talked about just the situation that so many of your families deal with, and how this is such the normal, and it's just so funny as you talked about it, to me it brought back just a lot of memories, and I'm sure as a lot of us have tried to deal with that situation, or the situation that we're in, this is what they have to deal with. But this is now another layer. That's the one thing when I thought about you coming in, and I thought, boy, this in some cases I could see, especially early on in the treatment, because it's like anything, as just like this, the first few weeks of this were just, you know, you were just every day you didn't know what was happening. And that so is what it's like until you get into it's a terrible routine to be in when you're
but you get into it.
But you get into it. And I thought, boy, to put this on top of families like that, this is it's almost like you just think it's almost too much. I just think if I had been dealing with this and also dealing with my son in pediatric cancer. Boy, it would have really taken a lot more, even more out of me, I think.
Right. Well, and also you think about, you know, what's everybody, like, I keep seeing memes on Facebook that are like, how many times have you told your kids not to do that because they're going to have to go to the emergency room? Well, our families are still going to hospitals right now because mm-hmm. they have to for treatment. And so they're still putting themselves at a different level. It's like, it's one level up always for them, right? So it's like, this is how they typically live. They don't go out and do things, but now it's leveled up one more. Now, this could really, really impact their family in a way that we don't even want to think about.
Yeah.
And then now when they go to the hospital just for their treatment, the thing that should be saving their child's life, there's a chance that they could contract in the elevator or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, who knows where. And it's not like they can, you know, that's not something you can do virtually is get chemo.
Yeah, I never thought of that. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of our moms mentioned that when she went, and this is a few weeks ago, they went and her daughter had to be taken back by herself to be accessed because they didn't have enough masks. So the mom wasn't able to be given a mask. And so the mom couldn't go. So, in you know, the child's like 8. You know, you think about that kind of stuff, and it's like, puts things in perspective. Like, oh, my kid can't go play with his friends. Well, it's still not, you know, not that what we're facing isn't hard, because it is. It's hard for everybody, but still, it really could be worse, which is not to minimize, because I don't believe in minimizing the experience for anybody. But I do think that a healthy dose of perspective and why we do what we do is because it is one level up for them, a little bit harder, you know?
Yep. Boy, yeah, good stuff here this morning. So, Andy, the other thing I thought of is with a lot of people at home and a lot of people are looking for things to do, this may be mm-hmm. a time to look at Fairy Godmother Project if you're looking, if you've got some time and want to volunteer, whether you might not be able to volunteer right now just because of the social distancing and all, but perhaps in the future you want to get involved with Fairy Godmother Project. And I know you're always looking for volunteers.
Yeah, and the great thing is, in January, we put our volunteer orientation online. So anybody who's interested in becoming a volunteer could actually do it now. So they could go online, watch the video. It's about an hour long, and then they take a little quiz about the video, fill out the application, do the background check, all that stuff. I mean, they could be an official volunteer within the week, not even a few days.
Hmm.
And then would be able to have the opportunity, you know. Yesterday's volunteers came. They had no interaction with other. There was no face-to-face human interaction. So totally, completely within, you know, within the rules and the expectations the governor's put forth for us as a state. You know, and part of his order did state that volunteering is considered essential. And so as long as people are doing that and following those guidelines, I mean, it's safe. It's and it's doing something for people, and I think that's really valuable. It's one of the reasons why I'm not the one delivering stuff is I know that our volunteers also need purpose, and this provides purpose for them. You know, when you're sitting at home doing nothing except, like, you know, I don't know what people are doing. I'm working, but I've heard of other people like Netflix and all that, and suddenly you go, gosh, I really kind of feel like I didn't do much today.
Right.
Well, we have opportunities for people to do something.
No, and I think of things like mowing the lawn. You've got that, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that volunteers can do, and with all the rain we're getting, as it warms up, lawns need to be mowed.
Right, and just other things like, you know, I mean, we may, if this continues on, you know, we may need to look at shifting some things. Like, do we put that out there that, you know, a volunteer can go to one of the homes and weed out front, as long as there's no interaction. You know what I mean? We just
yeah.
need to shift things around a little bit. And it's a gift to our volunteers, I believe, to give them an opportunity to give back during a time that's so uncertain. For me, I know the first week was really hard. I felt purposeless, like very limited interaction with the families and really didn't feel like we were doing much. I was busy because I hate doing anything that's like processes and policies and not my scene, but I have to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I was working on. But then when I finally was able to be organizing and getting people to come and pick stuff up to deliver that first, it was like the first Monday after we shut down, or the second Monday, I mean, that felt purposeful again. And I kind of thought, this is what people need during this time. They need a sense of purpose so that they don't become sort of complacent in their existence of, you know, sitting on the couch and watching TV.
Right.
And we do have opportunities for that. You know, we certainly have, and we need creative minds to figure out how we're going to pull out of this and how we can better serve the families and how we can do different events and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, you're right.
People definitely can get involved.
At the end of the day, to be able to say, I mowed a lawn, I weeded a lawn, I moved some things, or I sat on the couch. I mean, it's a totally different thing, and it does give you a different perspective on things to help mm-hmm. people like that.
Yeah, and I think just purposeful. Like, I worked on something outside of FGP for my daughter's friend. Her mom passed away a year ago, and so with one of her teens, we put together something for the child just to let her know that, like, we remember her mom. And that felt unbelievably good, you know, knowing that, like, this little piece that I played in this was going to impact this child and that it would feel good for her. And for me, that's really important. Like, I need to know that I'm helping other people outside of my own family to feel good, to feel, you know, I don't know, like I'm achieving something every day, I guess.
Yeah. So if you've got a lot of time on your hands right now and want to get involved with just some great, great, great work and a fantastic organization, fairygodmotherproject.org, the website. Also go online and just look on Facebook. It's up to date and all kinds of good stuff. Andy McConnell is here this morning, and when we come back, we'll wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here this morning with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. We started out this morning, Andy, and it's a great story. You ought to go to the Fairy Godmother Project Facebook page and see some of the pictures. We'll have pictures up on our Facebook page, too. But you did just a great thing yesterday by just really distributing items that are hard to get for all mm-hmm. of us, but to your pediatric cancer families.
Yeah, and it was a real team effort. I thought about that yesterday when we finalized it and I opened my garage for everybody to come. I thought about the number of people that made it happen. You know, like, there were 10 volunteers that were delivering, but there also were probably 15 or more people who donated items, you know, so, like, it's about community. It's about people coming together for this good thing that really makes a difference. And really, you know, like, that's what I saw. Like, I looked around the garage, which, by the way, my garage is messy. And I looked around the garage with all this stuff set up and all I saw was generosity. You know what I mean? Like, wow, this is so many people coming together just for these families that they don't even know. And it's one of the things that I think about so often with Fairy Godmother Project, and is that it's strangers helping strangers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, the volunteers that came yesterday, they picked up their stuff to take, and they don't even know the last name of the family that they're going to. They don't know any details about the family inside those doors. They just leave it on their porch and walk away. And the idea that people are that giving and kind and selfless because they're getting something out of it internally, I believe. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, you feel fulfilled, but they're not doing it so that they can know a story or they can know about this family. They're truly doing it just because they know this family needs it. And that's pretty powerful.
And it's those kind of stories. I just look at those pictures and you think about what a great thing that was, and it's that kind of light that you see and during such dark days. And, you know, thank you for being part of that and for organizing it. And just like you say, just for the families, it's just, mm-hmm. it means so much. You're keeping them safe.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we threw in a couple of extra, one of our moms thinks she actually may have COVID. And so my daughter was helping me pack all the bags, and she's like, Mom, we have extra Lysol. What do you want to do? And I was like, throw them in this bag because they're going to need to be spraying down and cleaning so much more even than the other families already are, you know? So every little bit helps.
Well, these are tough times, but you have really been able to pivot and continue to help the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And the community of people that we serve need it. You know, they don't need this added layer of stress that they're having. And, you know, it's also our other families who are survivors in remission. You know, they're also dealing with it. And one of the things we do, our support groups, as I mentioned, we move them online, and we've added the way that they're scheduled. They finish in May, and then we start back in August. But we've added June on because there's so much uncertainty right now for these families that they need as much support as they can get. And so we will be continuing. And then if, you know, this keeps going, we may look at just adding it again in July and just providing that support for them because they need it.
Well, thanks for what you do. And again, if people are interested in volunteering, best way, just go to fairygodmotherproject.org and look for the volunteer tab.
Yep, it says get involved, and then it gives you ways to get involved. And, you know, I'll post on Facebook today. I've been trying to do it periodically. Our the video, like, you know, here's the link to just become a volunteer. Go ahead and watch the video. Hmm. And the video is informative. It's like what I used to do in person for people. The reason we moved it to an online format was so that people could do it on their own time when it was convenient. It made more sense. And then if they want to get more engaged in different ways, there are additional volunteer trainings that we do in person. So obviously those are on hold right now. But yeah, so it's an easy way to do it. Listen to me talk for an hour, which is a little bit painful, but still, it's worth doing.
We made tea earlier this morning. Did the tea turn out well? Did you, are you happy with it?
I am. I'm very happy with my tea. And I'm done after this. I don't need more caffeine. So yeah. But this is weird. It's really weird to not be sitting across from you, I have to say.
Yeah, no, very it is. Strange. We have done very memorable shows over the years, and you have brought in guests. You have brought in guests over the years, really, that I'll never forget. A number of them, and to do this kind of thing. But it's exciting to know that you're still able. You haven't shut down, and you're continuing to move on and look for ways to continue to help your families.
Yeah, and we have to. You know, could you imagine if right now we said to these families, like, sorry, we can't make it work right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That one of the things that we always strive to be for our families is a constant. And, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the things about we move through this experience with them from diagnosis all the way to end of treatment.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we continue to do that.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Andy McConnell with us this morning. Andy, we will talk again soon. We'll keep updated on things and ways people can get involved. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
That is it. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.